courage was almost overwhelming. Instead, I sat and stargazed, trying not to think. Jess came in a half hour later. "Sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you." "It's okay. You'd think I'd have a handle on all this by now, but the learning curve keeps going up." "What's the problem?" "No gravity." "You know, I forget you're not a spacer. Anyone who decides on a life in space is first put through zero-G training. If you puke, you usually choose another calling. If you don't, the training continues. So those who live in space are prepared for sudden loss of gravity, often from a very early age. It's easy to forget you never had any of the training." "Is it too late now?" "Probably. Nobody mucks around with the gravity plating. Testing is done in spacesuits outside airlocks, usually station ones, or at the least when the ship is stopped. Jenna is not going to stop us now, and if she did like the idea of you going out the airlock, it would be a one-way trip." "Does she hate me that much?" "Nothing to do with you, but I think she sees someone else whenever she looks at any man." "Understandable." "Perhaps. I'm not sure I heard the whole story. Any normal person would be more detached from the past by now. Not when men strip your clothes off, display you naked to hundreds of people, mainly men, and then sell you. I'd call it a solid reason for a relapse." "Maybe so. But they did the same to me, too, and I'm bouncing back from it." I suddenly looked her in the eyes. "Did they rape you on that ship?" "No, but it was getting closer all the time. It was why I was being tortured when you saved me. We had to give ourselves willingly. It was the end of the process of breaking us." "What about Leanne?" Jess looked concerned for a moment. "I don't know. She's strong, but in a different way to Jen and me. I think we'll either find her dead, beaten to a pulp, or silently enduring. She's waiting for us. She'll have no idea how long it will take us, but she knows one of us will have escaped, freed the other, and be coming for her next." "You were that close? All for one, one for all?" My eyes glazed over. She mentioned something about checking the medical facilities, since we had five of them now, and I didn't notice her leave. One good thing about the conversation, the terror was gone. I practiced looking into various parts of several ships we passed, including into small parts in power junctions. They were quite complex inside, mainly very small circuitry. It was probably doable, and if I was quick, there didn't need to be any gravity complications. Neither ship had any room looking like a slave barracks, but I was getting quicker with moving my sight around a big ship. "You're going to need to see this." I turned to find Jess holding out an image. On it were three girls, all dressed in ship garb. The one I didn't know was obviously Leanne. Now I had someone to look for. I nodded, and she left. At 10 kilometers distance, I sighed, took a big breath in, and started searching the target ship. I found Leanne very quickly, lying on a pallet in a small room packed with pallets. She wasn't alone. I fixed the location firmly in my mind and went searching for the junction box. It was where Jess had said, as was the black box unit. "About to jump. Back shortly." "Go," said Jenna. The chip I'd selected came out easily and appeared in my hand. I dropped it onto the console without looking at it. My sight immediately moved through the ship, presumably as it lost speed, and my intent wasn't fixed enough to hold there. The lights went out, and suddenly I had a hard time seeing where I was looking. Instead, I shifted it back to the spot next to Leanne. She was standing now, in almost darkness, but was the only one. I wondered if the others were asleep, but didn't have the time now to look. I jumped myself, appearing behind Leanne. She twirled and hit me. 31. "Don't move," said a voice. I was looking directly into my own gun. Leanne, I'm here to rescue you. How do you know my name? Jenna and Jess sent me. Sent you? How? We don't have time for questions. Take my hand and let's get out of here. The gun wobbled about a bit, still pointing at my head. I moved it from her hand to my holster. Behind her outstretched hand, her face changed to disbelief. How did you do that? No time. How long was I out? Less than a minute. The gravity could fail any second now. We have to go. Go where? Jenna's ship is close by. Jen is here? I sighed, pulled the gun, and shot her. Don't leave us here, said a voice. Please, said another. I looked around. There were 14 other people here, although only 3 were awake. No time, I muttered to myself. No time to even think, so I just acted. I shot each of those still asleep as fast as I could so they wouldn't wake up any time soon. Pull everyone to the middle of the room, I instructed the 3 still awake. I need them all touching each other. I went over and grabbed the nearest by the arm and pulled. Faster, the gravity is about to fail. How do you know? Because I sabotaged the ship. Faster. In 30 seconds, we had all of them in the middle. I could feel it as we steadily lost our feeling of weight. Steps started becoming longer, and we had seconds now before we started bouncing around the room uncontrollably, or at least that was my fear. There were no shields active now, so I couldn't use them to power the jump. Power was out throughout the ship, so there was nothing for me to use. I searched around until I found the generators themselves. The power was there, just not getting to the rest of the ship. I drew upon it. I made sure everyone was touching, removed their collars one by one, formed the intent to move all the people connected by touch to me and each other, decided to move us all to the common room on the new ship, checked it quickly to make sure there was enough empty floor space, and jumped. I quickly disengaged myself from the mass of people, walked over to the room comm panel, and pressed the button. I'm back. New ship common room. 15 people. Jess, I need help. Some of them need medical attention, and I had to stun most of them to control the jump. Why did it take so long? Asked Jenna. Leanne hit me. Should have seen that coming, laughed Jess. Oops, said Jenna. What about Leanne? How is she? I had to stun her to shut her up. Should have seen that coming, too. Jess was still laughing. Did they make us at all? I asked. Not as far as I can see, answered Jenna. We never went closer than 7 kilometers from them, and you were fast enough I didn't need to make any course change. It was just as well I slowed us down a bit to give you the extra time, but I don't think it was noticeable. Why 15? There were 15 slaves in the room. I couldn't leave them all behind. Not when someone pleaded with you. I could easily have left them there, but then I really think I'd have had nightmares about it for the rest of my life. I guess not. Bed them down where you are. There was a pause. Thorn, does that ship have a shuttle? Looking took only a few seconds. Yes, several. Why? Can you move one to one of our shuttle bays? I saw where she was going. We'd be needing to explain how 15 slaves escaped. An extra shuttle would do it. I drew a lot of energy, since we were now well over 10 kilometers away, grabbed a hold of the closest one, and moved it. My vision faded for a moment, then I had to push against the nearest wall to hold me up. Drawing even more energy from my source pool made me feel better immediately. Jess arrived shortly after, and together with the other 3, who were standing there looking at me with dumbfounded expressions on their faces, we moved everyone either to a bed or to the medical facilities. Leanne we moved to her own stateroom. Moving 15 naked people should have been awkward, but I really didn't notice. My brain was sluggish, and sleep was what I needed. The last thing I wanted was to be there when Leanne woke up. Jess could see it in my face, so she let me go. What I needed was food and drink before a long sleep. The first throb in a temple started as I drifted off. 32. I woke a few hours later to an established migraine, took a tablet, and went back to sleep. By the time I woke again, we were nearly to the station. My head was clear, but the rest of me needed a shower. The necessary done, I was finishing up a meal in my kitchen when Leanne's voice made me jump so hard my knees bashed the underside of the table and my drink crashed to the floor. She laughed and sat down opposite me.
"I'm told I owe you an apology. Two, now."
Her grin was infectious. She was wearing the same ship outfit the other girls wore. "Not really. You had no way of knowing who I was."
"All the same, I reacted far more violently than I usually do. I'm sorry I hit you, and thank you for the rescue."
"You're welcome. Jess told me a whole heap of things about you. If I hadn't seen what you did with the gun, I wouldn't have believed a word of it." "Belief is not necessary. Plenty would disagree with you. If you don't mind, it's too soon after getting up for this sort of discussion." The cleaner bots having cleaned up the mess, I rose and brought back another drink. Leanne was watching me closely, so I paid more attention to her.
"No."
"No what?"
"No, you're not getting thank you for saving me sex."
I face-palmed. "Why do you all think I expect that?" She laughed.
"Sorry, just messing with you. Jess told me to."
I shook my head and said nothing.
"Just your luck to rescue three girls in a row who all like girls."
Well, and so a few things were suddenly explained.
"You could try the others, you know. Well, the girls, anyway."
"No, thanks. I have no plans for seeing any of them again."
"They do want to thank you."
"I'll think about it."
"I want to thank you."
"You just did."
"No, I mean with a proper reward. And yes, I know you want to go home, and as the one who has the most time on her hands on this ship, I'll dedicate myself to finding it. But I mean a proper reward above that. Just give me time to work something out."
"You don't need to."
"Want, not need. Want. They've been raping me for weeks. All of us, in fact. Several of the group are going to need serious therapy when they get somewhere safe."
"I'm sorry it took us so long to find you."
"I understand. It was always going to be a waiting game. Jen and Jess were always going to escape, somehow. I never doubted it. They have skill sets I don't have, so for me, it was always about enduring until someone showed up. I'm really glad you did. I'm just sorry I made it harder for you."
"We've done that. Forget it. How are the others going to get to safety?"
"We have our story already, how the power cut out, and we stole a shuttle to escape. Jen took us aboard as you went past, and the station has already been notified. Escaped slaves are on their way. She told me to ask you to look at the docking bay before we dock, just in case the reception isn't what we want."
"What did she mean by that?"
"I have magical sight, which can see at a distance." "Jess said something like that. Can you give me a demo?"
I led her to my bridge and bid her watch the screen Jess had used. An image of Jenna in her captain's chair appeared. I let it fade immediately. "Oops, I didn't know she'd be there. I was going to show you an empty bridge. Don't tell her I did that, please." She laughed.
"I won't. So is there any limit to what you can see?"
"Range seems to be about 15 kilometers at the moment, but it depends on what sort of power I can borrow."
"So you looked at me before the rescue?"
"Yes. I had to know where you were so I could jump in close."
"So you saw me naked?"
I blushed. She laughed harder. "Only, sort of. I was concentrating on a very fast rescue. I really didn't get a chance to look properly. And don't worry, I won't be doing any looking here on the ship. The others would kill me."
"Hey, no need to be so defensive. I'm not Jen or Jess. They're both very private people. Being naked for them is humiliation taken to the nth degree. I'm not them. I was always more of a party animal. And while I prefer girls, I've never been shy about being seen. so if you want to peek at me in the shower, go right ahead. My jaw dropped open for a moment. Don't kid. I'm not. I get a kick out of being seen. It was a major factor in helping me cope. I didn't feel humiliated being naked, and being looked at gave me a thrill, not put me in fear of them. Being raped wasn't pleasant, but I didn't fight them so they didn't hurt me. I just pretended to be a blow-up doll. My mouth was open. I closed it. I'll make sure, if I'm not showering alone, I do it in another stateroom. The others will toss you out an airlock if you view them. I know. They were very serious about it. Well, if you feel the need to look, look at me. You can look all you like. Just don't touch. I blushed again and resolved not to look or touch. I changed the subject. How do the others get to safety? What happens after you all get your IDs? We don't know yet. The main problem is funds. If we had some, they'd all take a passenger ship back to their home worlds. We don't. And while Jen is sympathetic, she doesn't want to be a taxi service for people she didn't invite on board. Ouch. Not your fault. If I hadn't forced you to stun me, I'd have talked you into taking everyone as well. How much will they need? Leanne gave me a set of numbers, since she'd already researched costs for tickets. I rounded the number up to a nice whole number and set about making 14 cards with double it on each. Leanne sat there waiting for me to finish, astonishment on her face. I passed her the 14 cards. Give each of them one of these. Hopefully it's enough to get them home. How can you afford to do this? Easy come, easy go. Do I even want to know? Probably not, but once we hit the station, I'll top back up again fairly quickly. Can I watch? The grin was back on her face. 33. The reception committee was larger than expected, but showed no signs of danger. There were no guns evident, or cages on wheels nearby. As the only one without a bounty on me, I greeted the immigration officials when the hatch opened. I repeated the cover story and was quite prepared to show them the shuttle they escaped in. I wasn't asked to. Leanne and the others had their identity verified, gave statements to be passed on to law enforcement about their slave-taking captors, and were welcomed back to civilized society with new ID cards. Leanne announced she was staying with the ship as crew, and the others would be taking passage back to their home worlds. None of the officers asked about how they would fund this. I gathered this was none of their business, or at least something best not made official. Refugees with no funds could start asking for handouts after all. Officialdom done, we all trooped back aboard and closed the hatch. Jess was waiting for us, holding two gun belts. Leanne and I buckled them on. While technically Leanne might be a target here, she was less likely to be than Jenna or Jess, at least for now. The guns were just for show, in case anyone thought we might be an easy takedown. One by one, the others hugged me. They were dressed in identical ship suits, which I assumed Jenna had in store somewhere. It was awkward, but they were genuine in thanks for their rescue. They all had contact details for Leanne and promised to keep in touch. I guess captivity and living naked with a group of strangers for a long period creates a bond which lasts after the group breaks up. If it was me, I'm not sure I'd want to keep in touch. But Leanne wasn't me. We left as a group, taking the fast route to the passenger departure lounges, where each of them bought a ticket home. We stayed with them until the last one boarded a ship, most of the day later. On the way back to the ship, I spotted a man abusing a station worker. I quietly pointed him out to Leanne and took his wallet, moving it into the ever-present backpack I always wore on station. Back aboard, with the hatch closed, I took it out and showed it to her. It had 5 cards inside, and I handed all 5 to Leanne without checking their value. "Here, you'll need some funds yourself." She waved them past her pad, which had been with her things Jenna and Jess had replaced in her room, and her eyes widened at the amounts. "I can't take all this." "Sure you can. You're owed. I figure this is the way the cosmos provides for some people after treating them really badly. The cosmos has you robbing the rich to give to the poor? When you put it that way, geez, I hope not. For now, I rob the rich to support me, and now you. Let's not make this any more than it needs to be. I'm not a crusader. I'm just using the only skills I have to get by. Will you escort me to the bank?" "Surely I will." She took my arm, and we walked that way across the station to the banking section. I waited outside while she went in. She was grinning when she came out. "Let's go shopping." I'd never been shopping with a girl before. In one store, I sat in a chair outside the changing room as she went in and came out in different outfits, looked at herself in a full-length mirror, and asked how she looked. While my impression of Jenna and Jess was they preferred shipwear, or at least clothes which didn't emphasize their female attributes too much, Leanne, on the other hand, was totally girly. She went for dresses, skirts, and tops, and looked sensational in all of them. At one point, she pulled her dress off on her way back in before she was even in the door, revealing nothing on underneath. I wasn't the only one to get an eyeful, and when she came out next, it was with a big grin on her face. I guess if she was showing, I was watching. A short time later, the door twitched open, and I had a vision of breasts for a few seconds. Teasing minx. I had to tell myself forcefully not to get excited about it. She was a tease, nothing more. Enjoy the show, but nothing. Eventually, she chose a set of outfits, paid for them, and had them delivered to the ship. As I followed along behind her, I sighed. At least that was over. Or not, as she turned into another store dedicated to female underwear. My foot paused in midair on the threshold, and I froze up right there. She must have noticed I hadn't followed her in, as she came back and quite literally pulled me in. By the time she led me out again, I'd seen her parade a dozen sets of lingerie in front of me, some of which left nothing to the imagination. By this time, I was really glad I was wearing tight pants, which fortunately didn't bulge much, since there was no stretch in the fabric. Otherwise, I'd have been really embarrassed. As a tease, this was brilliant. But since it was actually a wind-up, all she ended up doing was frustrating the hell out of me. I think she saw this in my face towards the end, as she selected, paid, and arranged delivery quickly after having drawn things out before. She bought a number of things in various stores, replacing things she too had found were missing, all being delivered to the ship. This included a new pad, which presumably hadn't been taken because it was so old. Finally, she led me into a restaurant. We were seated before she said anything. "Did you enjoy the show?" Her expression was wicked. "Sure, but I prefer a tease I know is going somewhere." "I saw that on your face. So you would have wanted it to go somewhere?" I sighed and nodded. "I'll take that as a compliment. Sorry, though, but I needed to know something about you." "What?" "The three of us were talking earlier, and the girls told me you hadn't made a pass at either of them. It made us wonder what you were attracted to. But from the look of your pants, at one point, I could see you are attracted to girls. Had to be sure. Sorry."
"You could have just asked."
"Yes, but seeing is believing. Tell me, did you see the two cute guys who were also changing at the same time I was?"
"What guys?"
"I didn't think so. One of them checked you out, but you didn't even notice."
"I was enjoying the show."
She laughed. "Good. So how come you haven't hit on any of us?" You told me not to. Since when has that ever stopped a man? Most men, maybe, but as you may have noticed, I'm not the lean, mean, tailor's dummy women prefer to be hit on by. She actually looked surprised. I learned a while back, if girls say no, it's better to accept it first off, rather than play stupid games I'm not equipped to play anyway.
Who says?
Everyone I've hit on.
They said it like that?
Surprise was now looking shocked. Not as such. They didn't need to say anything. It was obvious.
Where did you learn about girls?
I didn't. At 14, I went into a 2-year training program designed to find out what you were good at. It also had the side effect of keeping us away from girls. At 16, I had to flee for my life and found myself in a different sort of society. I lived in a house for teens without parents, and while I did learn some things about girls, they usually involved embarrassment and punishment. At 18, I was kidnapped by slavers. Her mouth was hanging open. She closed it and smiled.
I'll see what I can do in the way of some educational material for you. It sounds like you missed out on a lot.
She paused.
Are you a virgin?
Are you ready to order? 34. By the time I'd finished choking and my face was no longer red, we'd ordered.
So let me get this straight. According to Jen, you come from a planet without space travel, has never had space travel, and has no concept of where the planet is in the cosmos, right?
Yes. So you don't know the name we know it by, or the system's name, or which system it jumps to?
Yes. Just that it was 2 weeks' travel to get to the pirate station.
Yes.
That's not as bad as it sounds.
How so?
There are not a lot of planets within our space which haven't reached into space yet, especially with people looking just like us.
There are planets with people not like us?
Of course. There are all sorts of alien species out there. Why do you think we have a military? The jump points out into alien space are all guarded, and we don't let any of them into our space.
Why not?
Dishes were placed in front of us, and I idly picked up a fork and tasted. I looked across at Leanne, saw the look on her face as well, and talk stopped. It didn't begin again until the plates were cleaned.
You were saying?
What about?
Finding my home being easy.
Not necessarily easy as such, but known space is exactly that. Known. Pre-space flight civilizations are quarantined, no one allowed in, so all we need to do is find one within 2 weeks' travel of that station.
And find a way in.
With your talents, that may be the easy part.
My talents?
She laughed. Let me do some research. It shouldn't be too difficult.
What do you consider the hard part will be? Our main courses landed in front of us. Once again, talk stopped and eating took over.
That was wonderful. The food wasn't up to standard on your last voyage?
Hardly. Even Jen's food isn't up to this standard.
Why does she choose? It's her ship.
It's your stomach.
She laughed. So you're saying I should just order in what I want to eat?
Why not?
Why not, indeed? What are your food stocks like?
Gold class. Let's just say I obtained the box by accident, and it turned out to be the best.
Only a box? I'll order you a pallet when we get back to the ship. I need to order food anyway, given our guests ate into our reserves.
I can get my own.
Not unless you wish to create a demarcation issue. I'm cargo master on this ship, and I do the ordering.
I held my hands up in mock surrender. She'd just contradicted herself, but I wasn't going to say so.
Keep them there, said a male voice.
We looked around in shock to find a man standing next to our table, pointing a gun at us from within his coat, so only we could see it. He slid into the unused chair between us, and the gun slid under the table, pointed at me.
"Don't say anything. Listen, do what you're told, and neither of you get hurt."
"What do you want?" I ground out. He nudged me with the gun. "A bounty was issued for the babe here 10 minutes ago. My luck I was walking past here so soon after and spotted her." I saw immediately where he thought this was going. Hands still up, I had a look inside his gun. Not knowing what to do to make it useless, I made all the inner workings disappear.
"In a moment, I'm going to put a collar on the table. You, babe, are going to put it on, and the two of us will walk out of here as if nothing was going on."
His backup gun, in a boot holster, was now in my backpack, along with his wallet.
"I think not." My voice was calm, cool, and totally confident.
His head jerked to look at me, and there was a faint click as he pulled the trigger on his gun without any effect.
"Now let me tell you what is going to happen."
He tried to rise. I clamped some force onto his shoulders and pushed him back into his seat. His eyes widened.
"You are going to hand me the gun under the table, take out the remote device, and put it on the table in front of the babe. You will take out the collar next and put it on. You will set the remote to allow you to stand quietly outside the doors of the restaurant, and you will wait there until we finish our dessert. Understood?"
He nodded, but did nothing. I concentrated for a moment, and he started going red in the face. Abruptly, the remote was out, adjusted, and placed in front of Leanne. The collar followed and was quickly clicked into place around his neck. He looked at me, clearly unable to breathe. I released him. He took in a couple of quick breaths, rose, walked calmly to the doors, and stood just outside where he could be seen by Leanne.
"Wow! My hero!"
"Stop it. We need to finish eating and get you back to the ship before a real threat turns up."
"What are you going to do with him?"
"Deliver him to station security."
"Is that wise?"
"Why not?"
"Raises questions about how you overpowered him, ones we'd rather not answer."
Put it that way, and she was right.
Let me think about it. Our desserts arrived. The waiter departed, but Leanne was looking me in the eyes.
"Do you really think I'm a babe?"
She was fluttering her eyelids. I dug into my dessert.
35.
One moment he was there, the next he was gone. There was no sign of him as we walked out, after Leanne thumbed for the whole meal. She'd insisted, and I'd learned a long time ago not to fight an insisting babe. Admittedly, it wasn't about who was paying for dinner, but the principle holds once you learn it. And besides, it didn't matter who paid. She was using stolen funds I'd stolen, so it amounted to the same anyway.
How did he get away?
Must have had a partner with another control unit. I paused a moment. Saves us the trouble anyway. Let's get back to the ship before anything else happens. A shot hit my shields, which were protecting both of us. I pushed Leanne back into the restaurant and dashed for the men's room. Inside, I checked to see if anyone was there, which there wasn't, and jumped us back to the main lounge on the ship.
The men's room?
It was closest.
Why do you bother walking when you can do that?
Too risky most of the time. If someone sees me or I get caught on surveillance, I'm in big trouble.
We're already in big trouble.
True. I'd been thinking about exactly how much trouble I would be in if I kept on doing magic in public. Pirates would be the least of my worries. I was also worried about forming a habit of always doing magic. I'd heard some stories early on in training about mages who did everything magically and either burned out young or went mad. On the other hand, I wasn't sure I wasn't mad already.
"Where have you two been?"
Jenna seemed put out, but as far as I knew, the ship couldn't possibly have been unloaded yet, let alone the next load be aboard.
"Shopping and dining, Jen. Why? Did you want to come? Tell me you didn't get into trouble." We didn't get into trouble.
Leanne said it with a straight face, and then spoiled it by giggling. Jenna looked at me. Someone picked Leanne out by chance and tried to collect. Apparently the bounty on her was posted not long ago.
Is he still alive?
Yes. I managed to subdue him without much fuss, but he escaped his own collar. Outside, presumably he shot at us, so I took us back in and jumped us here. She looked at both of us and sighed. No more going out onto this station. It's not safe for either of you. Come on, Jess wants to talk to us all. She led the way towards the main lounge room, but the dock buzzer rang before we arrived. I went back to answer it. Before opening the hatch, I took a peek outside. The hatch opened to the right button, and the delivery man outside pushed a trolley inside and stacked a set of boxes on the internal trolley off to one side. I thumbed the delivery charge and shut the hatch after him. Instead of wheeling the trolley to the living area, I concentrated on the boxes for a moment, drew some power, and moved them directly to the floor in Leanne's stateroom. I found the girls all relaxing in what I assumed was their favorite easy chair. An extra one had been pulled in to form a rough ring. Each had a small table next to it, and on each was a tall flute glass, the liquid inside bubbling. Jenna waved me to the chair and picked up her glass. I sat and was the last one to pick a glass up. To freedom. She leaned forward in her chair, almost out of it, and the others followed her, me slightly behind them. Our glasses clinked, and we all leaned back into our chairs and sipped. The liquid was divine. I upended the glass and drained it dry. The girls looked at me in shock.
"You're supposed to sip it, silly," said Leanne. "Ah, bugger it."
She downed hers as well. The others followed, and after putting their glasses down, they all giggled. I looked at them, wondering what the joke was.
"Champagne," said Jenna, "used for celebrations and toasts, and getting sloshed on in high society. I ordered a few bottles before we arrived."
"How few was a few?" asked Jess.
"Whole carton."
They laughed outright this time. She reached down beside her chair and pulled up the almost empty bottle, filled her own glass, poured the rest into Jess's, tossed the bottle behind her, and pulled out another, already opened bottle. She refilled the rest of the glasses and sat back down.
"Sip this time," said Leanne, and chuckled again.
I sipped, as ordered, and put the glass down again. All eyes went to Jess.
"I thought we better discuss priorities."
"What's to discuss?" asked Leanne. "I have a rough idea where Thorne's planet is, and as we trade the next couple of legs back in that direction, I'll figure out which is the most likely system."
"That is one priority," said Jess, "but there are other ones, which might be higher priority."
"What are they?" I asked.
"We all have bounties on us now," said Jenna. "Even you, Thorne, I checked. They don't know who you are, but they do know you're with us, and they have an image of you, so it's no longer safe for any of us to move freely on stations."
"I can manage it if I have to.
Only at some risk."
"And we don't want you taking the risk any more," added Jess.
"It's an option if we have to."
"Last resort, perhaps," said Jenna. "I don't plan on us getting there."
I liked her optimism. The command was back in her voice. I liked that as well.
"So what else is there to do?" asked Leanne.
Jess coughed, and our eyes went back to her.
"As I see it, we have two tasks before us, or rather, one task with two sides to it."
She looked at Jenna with a sad face.
"I'm sorry, love, but there's no easy way to say this."
"Spit it out."
Jess looked at me. I took the hint. It was obviously the right time. I sighed and took a breath in. My gaze went to Jenna.
"As I understand it, you were raped by a superior.
Jenna hissed a breath in and shot daggers at Jess, and forced into quitting a promising career. 2 months later, your parents die in a freak accident, and you inherit a trader ship. Said ship is subsequently ambushed by pirates, and you get sold into slavery. What's your point? I had the impression from Jess you thought these were isolated events.
Yes.
Her teeth were grinding. What I see is a progression of events designed to remove you from the military and then remove you permanently. I'd venture to say your auction was rigged. You'd have been beaten into submission, raped for as long as you remained good sport, and then an accident would have killed you. End of someone's problem. The look she gave me made me raise a shield without thinking about it.
I agree, said Jess. Thorn dropped it on me when we were talking, and it shocked me to the core, but I've had time to think about it now. It all fits together.
Too damned well.
So you're saying my parents were murdered?
I'm sorry, love, but yes. She sat there for a long time, and we sat there with her, letting her process it all.
Motherfuckers are going to pay.
36.
So what's the plan, boss?
I was surprised it was Leanne who said it, but the three of them had almost identical looks on their faces. My eyes settled back on Jenna.
Three-pronged attack vector.
Jess laughed at my face.
How much military training did you get, Thorn?
The basics? At least the basics for what you'd consider the Middle Ages. I had the discipline drilled into me, but the rest of it is probably a tad out of date. I wanted to be a battle mage, but the sort of battles they fought are nothing compared to what I've seen now.
Thorn, asked Jenna, do you accept my military authority?
You're the captain, so sure.
No one knows this yet, but we four just formed a mercenary unit, and we have a war to fight. I need a battle mage. No, I need a space mage. Are you my space mage, Thorn?
I hesitated. I wanted to go home, not fight a technological war, but here's the thing. We are brought to where we're needed, to what needs to be done. My skills had transferred. It wasn't as if I was just a useless, unwanted kid anymore.
We need you, said Leanne and Jess together.
I'm in, I said, with more confidence in my voice than I actually felt.
What are the prongs? Asked Leanne.
Pirates, the bastards who bought us, and whoever planned all this.
Priorities? Asked Jess.
Jenna thought.
To get to all our buyers, we need to visit the pirate station again and steal their records. No point in leaving the slaver operation intact afterwards, so to do that, we need more than just the four of us.
Sasha? Asked Jess.
I thought so, but she might not want to leave her post.
She will when we lay the whole story in front of her.
We have to get there first, which means a military encounter first. We need missiles as well, so two birds with one stone.
Show me how, I said, and I can make them if we're near the raw materials. Show me where, and I can steal them. Show me where the records are, and I'll steal them as well.
I didn't say the other thought. Show me the bastard who raped Jenna, and I'd string him up by his balls. The same went for the bastard who was torturing Jess, if we ever met up with him again.
We're going to need to get into at least two sets of records.
Jenna was deadly serious now.
Two? Asked Leanne.
We need my former captain's records to find out who was behind him, and we need the records on that station to find out who was going to buy me. So I see four targets and counting.
Priorities, repeated Jess.
Sasha and missiles come first. I selected our next destination to take us in that general direction anyway, so as soon as we're loaded, we'll leave.
I must have looked confused.
We're going to get attacked again. There is no doubt on that now. We each carry bounties, and so does the ship. There will be attempts to collect them. The magazines are not fully stocked, and we don't have anyone experienced in fusing and firing them. So we were always going towards Sasha and the closest missile stores. I also checked on what we have, and most of them are crap. I want military-grade missiles, and someone who knows how to fight with them.
Sounds like a plan, I said. Jenna looked at Leanne.
Leah, time you took back your job, and let Jess get on with hers. Get the rest of the cargo off as fast as you can, and the new cargo bedded down in record time. She looked around at all of us. I want to be out of here before some nitwit decides to storm the ship. We're vulnerable while loading. Thorn and I will take turns keeping watch, while you two get us ready to go. We all rose, and Jess and Leanne hurried off. Thorn, are you ready for a full-on war?
No, but I'm learning as fast as I can.
37. Dock watch turned out to be as boring as it sounded. There was some suspicious activity out beyond the dock itself on both levels, but nothing happened. For some reason, whoever it wasn't prepared to assault the ship and was waiting for us to emerge. We didn't. When the last container, pallet, and box was loaded, we shut the main airlock, locked both, and prepared to leave. Jenna had us in the queue long before loading was complete, and the time allocated wasn't long after we were ready to go. Once in space, I talked to Leanne about cargo salvage. She started moving containers around to give me an empty space to use should some become available. Predictably, a ship was waiting for us on the next down jump. They were good, or possibly pre-warned, because they had missiles in space seconds after we appeared. I was waiting for them and responded the same as last time, with a force wall which caused them to explode. In the interval between launches, I moved everything in their cargo bays into ours. I tried something different for the next salvo, just making them vanish, as if I'd wiped them off a screen. The contents of their armory was next, followed by their personal sidearms. The third salvo launched.
"Stop mucking around, Thorn!" yelled Jenna.
The echo came through the ship, which showed me how loudly she'd bellowed it. I wiped away the missiles again. "Almost done," I said into comms. I parked their shuttle in the last remaining space, emptied their food stores, found and emptied a wine storage room, and stripped their staterooms of anything interesting. The next salvo I turned back on them, and as they hit, I formed a force wall and rammed it into their ship so hard it was reduced to space dust.
"What took you so long?"
"Have Leanne do an inventory." I could hear chuckling in the background.
"Do we claim them?" asked Jess.
"No," replied Jenna. "It's time we instilled a little terror among pirates and hunters. We'll arrive at our next destination and not mention anything. Anyone checking will find only dust. After a few more ships go missing, the next lot might think twice about taking us on."
"I wouldn't bet on it," I muttered.
"Me either," said Jess.
"Thorn, you better show Leanne what you did."
"On my way."
We spent several hours looking at my haul. She entered the few containers and all the pallets into the cargo system. We moved the food into our own stores, including several pallets of drinking water and another 3 pallets of beer. This restocked both the main kitchen, my kitchen, and the one for the alternate accommodation. If need be, we didn't need food replacements now for 6 months or so. The wine store was moved into an unused room, and the environment set for optimal drinking in the future. Quite a few boxes found their way directly to the kitchens for immediate use. It turned out they'd considered themselves a major fighting force, since their armory had contained body armor and enough guns and explosives to start a small war.
I had to create new racks for a lot of it. They even had several tripod-mounted heavy blasters. I kept a selection aside for my own use and moved them to my part of the ship, where I again made racks to house them properly. Once we were finished, we had drinks in my lounge area. "Leanne," I started, "call me Leah. No need to be formal." "Leah," I grinned into her smile. "Next time you better specify what space we have left and where to put things direct. Otherwise I might start putting things on top of things." "What happens when you do that?" "I'm not sure, and I don't really want to try to find out. In theory, a container appearing where another one already is will destroy both, or the second will simply replace the first. Neither sounds good."
"You'll work it out, but in the meantime, I'll have a list ready of positions for each size."
"Thanks. Maybe you should be with me for the next jump."
"You want some company?"
"Sure." And I did. Leah was turning out to be very good company, and I really didn't want to be alone. The cosmos definitely has a sense of humor. I finally find a girl I can get on with, and she prefers girls. She must have seen something in my face.
"Are you lonely, Thorn?"
I thought about it. "Sometimes."
"I'll see what I can do about it."
38.
"Darlings, how wonderful to see you! And look, you brought me a toy boy!"
I cringed. I'd wondered why I'd been invited to the main bridge this time as we approached the next station. Now I knew. Leah laughed, although the other two had the decency to keep a straight face. The voice belonged to an older woman who was extravagantly dressed, including a feather in her hair and covered in jewelry.
"When can I expect you at the salon, darlings?"
"I'm sorry, Deirdre," said Leah. "We can't leave the ship this time."
"But you must!"
"We're in a spot of trouble at the moment," said Jenna.
"Next time?"
"Bah! If you cannot come to the salon will come to you. I must meet this toy boy I see before me."
She grinned, displaying a set of perfect teeth. I suddenly had images of being eaten by a crocodile.
"We'll be docking in about an hour," said Jenna.
"Excellent. We'll be waiting for you."
The comm screen went blank.
"Who was that?"
a squeaky voice asked. The three of them laughed, even Jenna.
"An old friend of my parents," said Leah. "She's a force of nature, comes across like a stampeding elephant, but has a heart of gold."
"Salon?" I asked.
"She calls it a salon, but it's really just about everything a woman needs to pamper herself."
"Ah, so I get guard duty while you're all being pampered?"
"Hell no," exclaimed Jenna. "She does cater to men, too," added Leah.
"And we won't need to worry about security, either," added Jess.
"You'll see."
And I did see. I peeked at the main people lock area as the docking clamps were engaging and saw what looked like an army of people waiting. I say army because a dozen of them were armed and ringed around the area, all facing outwards. Someone knew their stuff, too, for as far as I could see, there was no way anyone could assault the ship without taking heavy losses. The main loading dock below was even more heavily protected. Deirdre obviously had her own security force, or had one on tap. When the hatch opened, Deirdre swept in and hugged each of us. She was followed by four stunning women pushing tables and four men pulling loaded trolleys.
"Ah, toy boy, darling, do you have a name?"
"Thorn," I croaked, feeling overwhelmed. She waved over the shortest of the girls.
"This is Wei Lin. She will be attending to your needs. Please show her to your stateroom."
Wei Lin gave me a smile and took the handles of her table in her hands. I shot a look at Leah, who was grinning, and she waved me away. I hesitated, and they all grinned and waved me away.
I turned and walked off, Table and Wei Lin behind me. When I looked back, one of the men and a trolley was following along behind. Arriving at my stateroom, I motioned Wei Lin inside. The man pushed the trolley in after her, and to my relief, left. I closed the door and wondered what came next. The table was pushed into a space where she could walk all around it, with the trolley pushed to one side out of the way. From it, she pulled large, fluffy towels, several large bottles, and soap. She looked at me as if sizing me up from head to toe. "Clothes off," she said, in a gentle, soothing voice. My eyes opened wide, wondering what was going on. "Please remove clothes. We shower before massage." I reluctantly started to pull my clothes off, but stopped when she started removing her own. Before I knew it, she was standing in front of me, stark naked. My eyes looked her over. "You do not like me?"
"Yes," I stammered. "Very much."
"Why that face you make?"
"I'm not sure what's happening here."
"Shower and massage. You have aches, pain, we fix. Remove clothes or they get wet."
I removed the rest of my clothes, thinking about how surreal it was.
"Ah, you do like me after all."
I had to smile at that. She took my hand and led me into the bathroom.
"Make water comfortable."
She darted back into the bedroom while I turned on the water, returning with her arms full, some of which turned out to be soap and some sort of fluffy thing. She pushed me in and closed the door after herself.
"Turn."
I turned my front into the water, and she started soaping my back. I felt the touch of her hands, the soap, and the fluffy thing. They went down my back and kept going. At my feet, she bid me lift each foot in turn, and the whole foot was washed. Her hands came back up the insides of my thighs, and I squirmed when they touched a part of me I hadn't expected to be touched.
"Turn."
I did so, and she repeated the soap and wash. I quickly understood the errant touch had been no such thing, as every bit of me was methodically washed.
"Now, you do me."
She handed me the soap and fluffy thing, and I started on her shoulders and arms. Her skin was soft, and she leaned into my touch. Down her back I went, before hesitating.
"All."
I kept going, down to her feet, which she lifted one at a time so I could do the undersides. I ran my hands up the insides of her legs like she had, but stopped short at the top and asked her to turn. She did. I started at the neck and worked my way down over her small, firm breasts, down to the tiny triangle of hair, and down her legs to her feet. I stood back up, and she took the soap and the fluffy thing, put them on a shelf, and led me out. One of the fluffy towels was waiting, and she dried me off, after which I dried her with another. She led me out to the table.
"Lie."
I lay down on the table. I'd never had a massage before, so had no idea what to expect. Her hands seemed to roam my body, finding pain spots all over the place I didn't know were there, until she pushed or prodded it. She spent a long time on my head, as if she could sense where my migraines pained me. At first, each spot was more painful, but under her tender ministrations, the pain eased and ceased. She was using some sort of oil, and I felt slimy, although in a good way. When the pain knots, as she called them, were soothed, she started moving her hands methodically up and down my body, and I could feel the energies flowing each direction, strengthening each time. And then something strange happened. I felt her sit on my thighs, followed by her lying along my whole length. Before I could ask why, she started rubbing her whole body along mine. I could feel her nipples moving along my back and lower. I wasn't sure what she was doing. but it felt really good. By this time, I was at a level of relaxation I'd never known before, and turned on like I'd never been either, since she kept touching everywhere, and obviously more of me was showing than I thought there was. Finally, she hopped off both me and the table, and stood looking down at me.